Hi, I'm Dr. Akiva Down.
And I'm Rabbi Avi Green.
And welcome to Interesting Questions.
In this podcast, we'll be addressing issues that are philosophical, religious, and psychological in nature.
We will be focusing on that which is considered to be controversial, and there may not be a right or wrong answer. So we are hoping that our discussions will yield more questions for your Shabbos table.
Shavua Tov, and welcome to Interesting Questions. We are on the sixth perek of Pirkei Avot, Mishnah Dalid and Hey today. So here we go. Kach hi darka shel Torah. This is the way of the Torah. Pat b'melach. Bread with salt, tochel, you should eat. Umayim bimsura tishte, and a small measure of drink should you have. Ve'al ha'aretz tishan, and sleep upon the ground. V'chayi tza'ar tichye, and a life of deprivation shall you live. Uvetorah ata amel, and in the Torah shall you toil. Im ata osekein, if you do such, ashrecha v'tov lach, you are praiseworthy and it is well for you. Ashrecha, you are praiseworthy, v'olam hazeh, in this world. V'tov lach, and it is well for you, l'olam haba, in the world to come. Hey, al tivakesh gedula la'atzmecha, do not seek greatness for yourself, v'al tachmod kavod, and do not covet honor, yoter milimudecha aseh, more than what you're learning is... It is more than what you're learning is. Va'al titaveh l'shulchanam shel melachim, and do not lust for the table of kings. Sheshulchancha gadol mishulchanam, because your table is greater than their table. V'chitrecha gadol mikitram, and your crown is greater than their crown. V'ne'aman hu ba'al melachtecha, and trustworthy is your employer. Sheshalem lecha schar pu'ulatecha, to pay you the wages of your labor. And I think it's important to point out that that last piece of Mishnah Hay is, I believe, metaphorical, right? When it says you should trust your employer to pay you your wages, it means that by studying Torah, you should trust that God will give you your reward. So, I don't know about you, Akiva. I know you have a job.
So you do know about me.
Yes. In that sense, I know you have a job. I know what you do for a living. I'm assuming that people pay you for your services.
Actually, Avi, my understanding under halacha is that I am paid to not do anything else for my services.
Okay, we could talk about that more. I'm going to say that I'm going to take an educated guess that you do not sleep on the ground and aim for a life of deprivation. And I will admit that neither do I. And I will also say that I eat more than bread and salt and just a little bit of water. The idea is that I don't know that that is what is taking up my time from learning Torah. In other words, I'm not sure that the best course of action is a life of poverty, where you have minimal to eat and sleep on the ground in order to be able to learn. Right? Many people would rather focus on the idea of Torah im derech eretz, right? Which can be understood as either Torah with manners or Torah with making a salary in the world, right? That one should have a job. In fact, it says in the Gemara in Kiddushin that a father is obligated to teach his son how to have a trade, otherwise he's teaching him to steal. And so I think what this first Mishnah is trying to tell us is the idea of running after wealth at the detriment of learning Torah is problematic, but that it is possible, at least in theory, to do both. You have some insights on this, Akiva?
So these Mishnayot reminded me of a Musar book that I'm reading. And it talks about kind of how to live the road to awareness, I believe, is the book, and it's in part one of the ideas that it suggests is that one should not live for a lavish life in this world, because the reward is in the world to come. And the reason why I think these two Mishnayot pair so well is because this is that combination. This is that, don't look at other people who have more than you now and think about, oh, well, they have all this, and look at all of these royalties and wealth and prosperity, and then here I am trying to scrape two nickels together to buy a loaf of bread, when in the world to come, the person who's scraping the two nickels together will have the palatial, or the equivalent of the palatial. It also talks about the fact that we can't possibly fathom what it is to have in the world to come, because we know nothing of it. And then it goes on to talk about what we know of it. But that the idea is that, okay, so all of these wealthy, all of these kings, all of these will look at you and think about, oh, how is this person who was nothing in his life having all of these things now? I have to say that hearing the combination of these Mishnayot, as well as how it's explained in the Road to Awareness, I have to say that it sounds to some degree like either, in one sense, it's coming off as, don't feel bad if you don't have riches. Don't feel bad if your earthly possessions are limited. Give your life to Torah and study and learn, and that is important. And don't consider that just because you didn't receive a physical reward means that there's no reward. In that sense, I'm fully on board. I like the idea. I like the idea of doing something for the sake of understanding that, you know, we learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah and to be better human beings and to be better parents, better children, better peers, better everything, to know how to live. It's our instruction book for living. And I like the idea that says that, you know what, if you work hard, there's a reward, regardless of whether it's in this world or the next one. I like that idea. In another sense, there's a measure of saying don't be envious, and at the same time, these Mishnayot are filled with envy. They are filled with coveting and jealousy, because the truth is when we use the phrase do not, it's essentially saying the same thing as do. Our brains don't really process the not. A perfect example is outside of a school where there's a camera doorbell, and it says, do not push here, and you see fingerprints all over the camera where it says, do not push here, because all they needed to do was put up a post-it saying, push here, or trust people know how to use a doorbell. Right, so basically what I think is important to remember from this is trying to avoid that one, because I agree with the idea that your focus should not be on earthly riches. At the same time, I also don't agree with the idea of living a life of poverty automatically means that you're going to devote yourself to Torah. Because I think that there's plenty of people who, you know, if they were rich men, would study and learn all day. But they don't. They have to toil. And I think that we also learn right up front, in the very first Parsha and Bereishit, we learn that we have to toil. In fact, it doesn't say learn Torah. It says you will toil the earth for your bread. So the reality is that we need to understand what that means, and we need to understand why we do that, and our children need to understand why we work and why we toil and why we try and create lives that are in some measure comfortable. And it doesn't have to be, again, that we have our primary focus as the only thing is money. I don't think that's the answer either. It's just, it's maybe the answer is not to live a meager life with the understanding that that automatically means that you're a tzaddik and all the Torah learning is what's the win. And just touching back for a moment on my comment about the wages of a rofe, is my understanding is, you know, this is what our rabbi had mentioned one time during one of his shirim, that rebbeim and rofim, I think it's a, yeah, rofim, are not allowed to collect a salary for what they do. In fact, it is that everything that they are not doing is what you're paying them not to do, so that they can devote their attentions to being a rabbi, being a doctor. So that was my comment. But yes, I do collect a fee for the services I provide, or a fee to not provide not those services.
So now that I understand what you're talking about, Akiva, I think what you're talking about is the idea that I'm getting paid for the fact that I can't do other things during that time. Right? I could be sitting and studying Torah. Since I cannot and need to teach your child, you need to pay me for the lost time, the time not spent learning Torah.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Well said.
And I think that, you know, you've touched upon the second Mishnah, but I think that we may want to go a little bit deeper in terms of this idea of when you look at the kings and when you look at others, you talked about jealousy and this idea of striving to be as great as others. And I think that this is something that unfortunately, right, we still see today. I imagine it's part of the human condition, is to be jealous of others and want to have what others have and keep up with the Joneses or the Schwartzes or whoever it might be. And and it goes back to one of those Mishnayot we learned much earlier on. Ezehu Ashir HaSameach B'chalko, right? Who is truly happy? One who is, or who is truly rich? It is the one who is happy with his portion. And so the idea that I have enough, as opposed to, do I have everything? Right? It is well known that there are people who make $30,000 or $40,000 a year who are very happy being with their family and having the freedom to do what they want. And there are people who make millions and millions of dollars who are unhappy because just having wealth does not provide happiness. Anything to add to that before we finish up with our question around the Shabbos table?
I think that, you know, there's this idea, and I do think that perhaps there's a big difference between jealousy and coveting. And I think it's worth it to differentiate those two, because I think jealousy can rise to the level of coveting, but it can also be something that can serve as a motivator. I can, just as I could be jealous of somebody else's wealth, I can also be jealous of somebody's scholarship and somebody's knowledge. I can be jealous that someone else has found the time to do Daf Yomi, which may in turn make me say, well, what am I doing with my time that's not correct? What can I do to change my habits and create, essentially, more time? So in that sense, that level of jealousy, that level of being unsatisfied with your portion, is not necessarily a negative. It can, in fact, be a great positive, provided it's used in the proper way, and not that it turns to coveting. Because I think coveting is the idea that, more so, I want what somebody else has, I don't want to do any work for it, I don't think that they should have it, and I should be the one to have it instead. I think that's more along the lines of coveting, and probably what we mean a lot of times when we say jealous and jealousy. But I do want to stress that I think that jealousy in and of itself, in its truest form, may serve many positives. It can be a motivator. It can make you say, I want more, I want to do more, I want to improve, I want to change, I want to be as learned as the Schwartzes or the Joneses, or maybe I want to figure out how to spend time with my family the way that the Felds or the Grosses do, just to pick some more random last names. And I guess actually what I would say is, Avi, if you don't have any more to add upon that, I think we have our question for around the Shabbos table. And what I'm going to ask is this. I want you to, rather than a question, to discuss about a time when you realized that perhaps there was more potential out there for you, and maybe you saw it because somebody else had it, and you thought to yourself, what can I do to improve? How can I work harder or work smarter or try something new or different so that I can achieve what this person who I admire has?
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to reach us, you can reach us at iqdiscuss@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you and responding.